Parshas Chukas. Tonight is Thursday night, Ches Tammuz, going now into Tes Tammuz. 209 years ago, the Chassam Sofer gave a drosha, and he began the drosha saying, "V'yoyim Chamishi le'eis erev," on Thursday evening, "Hapoyne le'yoyim vav," entering the sixth day of the week, Friday, "Tes Tammuz," the ninth of Tammuz. So this drosha that the Chassam Sofer gave took place tonight, 209 years ago, and I'd like to really just repeat his drosha. What is significant about the day of Tes Tammuz, which tonight is? The Magen Avraham tells us, and the Chassam Sofer quotes it, that this is the day that initially Yerushalayim, the walls were breached. The Chassam Sofer in his droshas, it's quite clear there that he used to give a drosha every year. Every year on this day, Ches and Tes Tammuz, he gave a drosha. So why was this particular drosha extra significant? So in the footnote in the Drosha's Chassam Sofer, they explain that this was taking place in the midst of war. Napoleon was battling the French army against the King of Austria, and the Chassam Sofer was, as it were, caught up in the middle of it. And it's quite clear, and we'll see later on, that there were very difficult circumstances. So much so that he writes over here, even before he begins his drosha, he gives a little introduction. And he says, "B'chol oison hayomim." He says, "All of these days I haven't been seen in public. Chutz lechedri." Outside my own private room, he says, "I've been hiding there because of the bombs or the gunfire, the danger there was to step outside." But he says, "I made a neder, come Tes Tammuz, I have to give a drosha. So how dare I step outside?" He says, "Now, ato hiskamti al zechus Talmud Torah derabim. Because this is public Talmud Torah, I will be okay." And he describes there, he says, "I gave this drosha, the Beis HaMedrash was packed full of people." And he says that he heard afterwards that there were people who threw his divrei, his oirus, were boiche bochorav, cried, sobbed a lot. They went back home and they were tiknu tikun godel. They were all masakin, all makabal on themselves, various kabbalahs. Ki amech kulom sadikim v'krevei tshuva. He says, this is Klal Yisrael, they hear Divrei His Eirus, and rather than just going back home and saying that was a nice drosha, rather they took it to heart and they were makabal on themselves to be Chayza B'Tshuva. That is the introduction that the Chassam Sofer gave to this drosha. So clearly he gave it also Parshas Chukat, and as was his way, he connected it to current events. So I'd like to share with you what the Chassam Sofer said on that night, which, as I mentioned, took place tonight. Ches Tammuz going into Tes Tammuz, and it took place on a Thursday evening as well, just like our shiur tonight. In this week's parasha, in Perek Chof Aleph, Posuk Ches, as we know, it says that the snakes came and bit Klal Yisrael. In fact, it says, "Vayomos Amrav mi Yisrael," and many people died. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Asei lecha soros," make for yourself a serpent, "va'osim oisoi al neis," and put it on the neis. Now how do we translate the word neis? So normally neis means a miracle, but here neis doesn't mean that. Here it means they should make a banner or a pole, put the serpent, the image of the serpent, on top of this pole, and then kol hanoshuch, anybody who has been bitten by the snake, v'ra'a oisoi v'choi, only needs to just look at the image of this snake and will live. A miraculous set of circumstances. Pasuk describes that's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu did. He made the copper snake, he put it on a pole. Anybody who had been bitten looked at it and miraculously survived. Now, we all know the famous Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah says that when Klal Yisrael were battling against Amalek, and it says that Moshe Rabbeinu lifted up his hands and they won. They were successful in battle. When he put his hands down, then they were defeated in battle. So the Mishnah says, are you trying to tell me, b'chiyodov shel Moshe, are the hands of Moshe going to dictate the course of war? So the Mishnah answers famously, no. When he lifted up his hands, Klal Yisrael in turn looked up to Shomayim. They subjugated, committed themselves to Avodas Hashem and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why they were victorious in battle. When he put his hands down, then so too Klal Yisrael, as it were, put their heads down and Kaviyochel forgot about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why they were defeated in battle. But how does that Mishnah continue? The first part of the Mishnah I think is very famous, maybe the second part less so. Because the Mishnah continues and it says, so too, it says in our pasuk that if you look at the snake, you will miraculously survive. V'chi nochosh meimis, oy nochosh machaya. Can a snake kill? Can a snake bring life? So what does the Mishnah say? The same answer. That when they looked up at the snake, in fact they were looking up at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, such they were committing themselves once again, la'aviyem shelashomayim, and that's the way that they got life, and that's the way they survived. So that's the Mishnah as we know. It's possible to read this Mishnah several times, as I have, and completely miss this diuk, as I have. But the Chassam Sofer picks up on the following diuk. What does it mean, does the snake kill, or the snake bring life? Which snake is it talking about? Which snake? The snake on the pole? Or is it referring to the snakes in the Midbar? The ones that initially bit them? It can't be referring to the snakes that had bitten them. Because how can you say, do snakes kill? Yes, they have. They have killed. Snakes clearly have killed people. The Apostle says they were flourish. So it must be referring to what? To the snake on the pole. So what's the question of the Mishnah? Does this snake on the pole kill? 1 second. Where does it say anywhere in the Pasuk that the snake on the pole kills? Where does it say the snake on the pole killed? All it says is that the snakes on the Midbar killed, and now whoever has been bitten, you look at the snake on the pole, and you'll survive. It doesn't say that the snake on the pole has some sort of dual task. It killed and it brought about life. If it would say that, then it would be a fair question. Does this copper inanimate snake, can it kill? Can it bring about life? But it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that the snake killed. The only snakes that did kill were the snakes that were crawling around in the Midbar. So how can you possibly say, did the snake kill? Yes, certainly they do. But what's the question of the mission? So listen to his phenomenal pshat and how he related it to what was going on there in this battle of Napoleon. He said in his drasha that I'd like to begin by giving hoida'ah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'd like to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Specifically, he quoted a pasuk in Tehillim Lamed Aleph. In Tehillim Lamed Aleph, pasuk Chaf Beis, it says, Baruch Hashem, ki hifli chasdei li. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done wondrous kindness to me, be'ir motzer, in the besieged city. So the Chassam Sofer related that to his set of circumstances. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done wondrous kindness in the besieged city. We are living in the besieged city. They were under attack. As the Chassam Sofer himself described, he was in hiding. He dared not set foot in public until this great big public drasha. So he said, I want to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the tremendous chesed in the ear not so in the city that has been besieged, i.e. our city. We'll soon see how he specifically translated that. Now he quoted a very strange pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk in Perek Mem, pasuk Vav, says, Nosato lireyecho neis lehisnoisi. Perek Samach, pasuk Vav. Nosato lireyecho. You have given those who fear you neis lehisnoisi. Miraculous miracle. It sounds like some sort of tautology, a double lashon. Neis lehis noises, a miracle on a miracle. I thank the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave those who fear them neis lehis noises mipnei koshet tela. The Chassam Sofer says as follows, and this is his drasha. A Kodesh Baruch Hu produces miracles generally in one of two ways. In one of two sets of circumstances, you'll find that a Kodesh Baruch Hu produces a miracle. One set of circumstances is HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish the Rasha in miraculous fashion. What's an example? Kriyas Yom Suf, Korach, where there was need for a miracle to punish somebody who needed to be punished. That's one type of miracle. There's another type of miracle, where a tzaddik needs to be rewarded or saved. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will produce a miracle to save him. How did he get into trouble in the first place? That could be through, as it were, natural causes. Again, Kriyas Yom Suf. Mitzrayim were pursuing Klal Yisrael. There's nothing miraculous about that. That is through natural circumstances. But how were they saved? They were saved through a miracle. So a miracle can come about in one of two ways. Either to miraculously punish a Rasha, or to miraculously save a tzaddik who found himself in trouble through natural causes. There is the Chassam Sofer. But surely you're never going to find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu produces a miracle to put the tzaddik in trouble, and then another miracle to save him from the first miracle. Why would that be necessary? Don't produce the first miracle, don't put the tzaddik in trouble, and there's no need to produce the second miracle to save him. If Mitzrayim are running after Klal Yisrael, there's nothing miraculous about that. They let them free, they wanted them back. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't produce the miracle to set Mitzrayim upon Klal Yisrael. That came about through natural circumstances, such that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to save them miraculously. But why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu produce a miracle to put the tzaddik in trouble and then save him again with another miracle? Well, don't put him in trouble and then save him. There's the Chacham Sofer. That's exactly what we've seen here in our city. That's exactly what we've seen here in Pressburg in Hungary. He says, we've seen by all accounts, he says, all battle experts, all military experts have said that the way that Napoleon has been launching his attack has been lemalo miderech hateva, has not been in a natural way. All the military experts matmiim, they're wondering v'lo yodu shum tam oy reach oy te'eles la'asoyim. Nobody can explain this battle. Why is Napoleon doing it? How is he doing it? What's the point? This whole miracle, this whole battle is just one big miracle. Completely me'al hateva. There's the Chassam Sofer. And not only that, we've seen now a second miracle. By the way, we've been saved. He says, nobody has been damaged. The damage to buildings has been minimal. That's a miracle in itself, the way that we've been spared from any damage, any serious damage from this battle. So he says, therefore, we need to stop and ask the question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has produced miracle number one by setting Napoleon upon us. In miraculous set of circumstances, all the military experts have no explanation for how, what, which and when. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has produced another miracle, which is to save us. And he describes in very, very graphic terms how there's bombs and gunfire raining down upon the city, and miraculously people have been saved. So one second. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is producing a miracle to prevent a miracle. So why has he done this double miracle? Don't let Napoleon attack in the first place, and then you don't need to be spared in miraculous fashion. Says the Chassam Sofer, and here was his Yesod, and this is what he told his Kehillah then. He said, there can come a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that Klal Yisrael or a particular individual is heading towards punishment. He's not being oivered HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the correct way. And he's heading towards serious punishment. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a wake-up call. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends him the first miracle in non-natural terms, in non-natural circumstances. And that's supposed to be the alarm bell. That's supposed to be the siren that you have to get your act together. If you don't, you'll be in serious trouble. If you do, and you're chayza b'tshuva, then what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu produced another miracle to get rid of the first miracle. The question was, but why do you need the first miracle in the first place? The answer is to wake you up. Because had you not been woken up, then you were destined for a very, very serious einish. It turns out, therefore, says the Chassam Sofer, that the first miracle, which was itself a punishment, that our Kehillah here in Preshvork should be under attack, is a tremendous einish, undoubtedly. But actually, it's the greatest chesed. It turns out that the fact that we're under fire is the greatest chesed. Why is it the greatest chesed? Because that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu tapping us on the shoulder and saying, you guys better wake up. Klal Yisrael Kedoshim, you have to wake up. So that was the biggest chesed, albeit a painful chesed, but it was a chesed. So he says, that's what it means. That's why he says, I'm thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Listen to this novel translation now. Baruch Hashem, that posuk in Tehillim, ki hifli chastoi li. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done wondrous chesed to me, be'ir motzer, in the besieged city. Says the Chassam Sofer, do you know what that means? Let's translate it like this. He has done wondrous kindness for me by making our city besieged in the first place. I'm not referring in this pasuk to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spared us from the besieged city, but rather the fact that the city became besieged in the first place, that is the chesed. And I'm thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that. Because had we not had this wake-up call, then I wouldn't be giving this drasha tonight with the Chassam Sofer. And Klal Yisrael wouldn't have been saved with the tshuva. There's the Chassam Sofer. That's now the trap in the other pasuk. There exists the concept of a nes lehisnosis. A miracle for a miracle. What does that mean? A double miracle, as he just explained. Normally you have a single miracle, either to punish the Rasha or to spare the Tzaddik. But why would you produce a miracle to get the Tzaddik in trouble, only then to necessitate a second miracle to spare him from the first punishment? Well, he's just explained exactly why you would need that to be an alarm bell. That's the neis lehisnosis. That is the miracle. What is the purpose of this miracle? To be the lead up to the next miracle. Because essentially, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to punish you. But you must know you're heading for big punishment. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you the small einish in miraculous circumstances. If you chayza b'tshuva, that will lead to the neis lehisnosis, to the second miracle. That was his drasha that he told the Kehillah in Preshvork 209 years ago. There the Chassam Sofer, he finished off by saying, now let's come back to our pasuk. For 40 years, Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, and we find no account of them being bitten by snakes, only over here. miracle. So apparently that was, as it were, the norm in the Midbar. Snakes don't bite. Apparently the snakes that were in the Midbar were not that type that they bit people. All of a sudden, what happens in our parasha, they come and bite Klal Yisrael. Extraordinary. 40 years they never bit. No, we have no recorded accounts of any snake biting in the Midbar, except in Parashas Chukas. Miracle number one. Miracle number two is, how did they get healed from that? By looking at a copper image of a serpent. Says the Chassam Sofer, so what really is the main miracle? Not so much that they got eventually healed, but the fact that the Nochosh bit in the first place. This had never happened in all 40 years in the Midbar. Now look at the Pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Asei lecha soros, make for yourself a serpent, v'sim oisoi al neis. How do we translate neis? Put it on a pole. Says the Chassam Sofer, yeah, but it also means realize that this has been a neis. The fact that they've been bitten until now, that is miraculous. It will now lead to miracle number two. This is a nace lehismosis. And the Chassam Sofer, in conclusion, that's shut in the Mishnah now. The Mishnah asks, V'chi nochosh, does the snake bite? Or does the snake kill? Or does it give life? Does which snake kill? The snake on the pole? Doesn't fit anywhere, and the snake on the pole kills. What, the snakes in the Midbar? Do the snakes in the Midbar kill? Yes, of course they do. That was the whole story. What was the question of the Mishnah? Says the Chassam Sofer, do you know what the question of the Mishnah was? The Chinochosh Memis, is that the norm for the snake in the Midbar to kill? Had this ever happened in any other set of circumstances? Realize that that was a miracle and it was supposed to be a wake-up call for Klal Yisrael. The Chinochosh Memis? Was that the norm? The Mishnah wasn't asking, did the snake in the Midbar kill? Of course it killed. That's how they got into trouble in the first place. What the Mishnah was asking was, the Chinochosh Memis, did they normally kill? Do we realize that this was an exceptional set of circumstances that had never happened before or after in all the 40 years they were in the Midbar? That was a miracle. It was a miracle they got bitten in the first place, and how they fled from it? By another miracle. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do the first miracle? They shouldn't bite Klal Yisrael, and you won't need the snake on the pole. That is the neis lehismosis. That is the wake-up call. That is HaKadosh Baruch Hu shaking up Klal Yisrael. You're heading for danger. I'm going to produce a miracle. If you're chayiv b'tshuva, like the Mishnah says, if you look up to heaven, and you mishtabed liban klapei avim shebashamayim, you'll be saved. If not, you're in big trouble. In fact, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu produced this first miracle to start off with. And that was the drasha of the Chassam Sofer says. That we've been besieged in the ear of Motzei. We have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu not just for being spared, but we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being put in trouble in the first place. Because sometimes being put in trouble in the first place is actually the greatest chesed. Because that's the wake-up call. That is the alarm bell. That is HaKadosh Baruch Hu shaking us up and saying, you have to be chayiv b'tshuva. And if you are, I'll produce a second miracle to eradicate the first miracle. Because there's no longer a need for a wake-up call. That was the Chassam Sofer's drasha, or at least a snippet of it. He then carried on at great length. There are, I think, two important points that are well worth considering that we can learn from this tremendous drasha of Chassam Sofer. Number one, every person has nisyonos. Every person has trying circumstances. A person has ups and downs in life. As Maseilas Yesharim writes in one place, that is in fact the whole tachlis of Olam Hazeh, past nisyonos. The tachlis of Olam Hazeh is not arrive in this world, have a wonderful, fun time, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. No, that's not the tachlis of Olam Hazeh. The tachlis of the olam hazeh is the ups and the downs, and how do we deal with the downs? How do we grapple with mischievous? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu on occasion sends us a difficult test or a difficult sorrow. What the Chacham Sofer is teaching us is that it may well be that that sorrow is in fact the greatest chesed, because that's the alarm bell. When things are plain sailing, when everything is going just fine and dandy, what is the impetus to be chesed b'tshuva? Everything is going just fine. Oilam kemin hogay noyeg, everything is just perfect. Why do I need to change a winning formula? But when things are not going so well, that's a shake-up. That's a shake-up. We say in Al HaNisim, on Purim and Hanukkah, Al HaNisim v'Al HaShuois v'Al HaMilchomois. Says the Chassam Sofer in his drashas on Hanukkah, yeah, we're thanking for the Milchomois as well. Because sometimes it's the Milchoma which is the wake-up call. We're not just thanking for the Shuois, for the salvation of the Milchoma, but rather we're thanking for the Milchoma in the first place. And we all have our own private Milchomas. There is a second very important point that the Chassam Sofer is teaching us. And that is, it might well be that a person's difficulties in life are there for him and his family and his community to be a wake-up call. But there's no point having an alarm which is on silent. I've done this more than once. I set my alarm and then I realise the next day when I overslept I put it on the wrong mode. It wasn't in shriek, annoying, shrill mode, it was on silent. So if it's on silent, then it's not going to wake you up. Or sometimes worse still, the alarm does go. What do? We just snooze it. In other words, the Chassam Sofer is teaching us, these sorrows that can indeed be alarm bells and a wake-up call can only be as such if indeed we're listening and being disbelieving in what is happening to us. You know, we often think, if only HaKadosh Baruch Hu had email. I could correspond with him, he'd send me at the beginning of the day, this is your job, this is what I want from you, this is what I want you to avoid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does have email, and he sends us messages the whole time. But we have to open up the messages. You know, we get a frantic call from somebody, why didn't you respond to my email? I didn't check my emails. Well, that's the answer, so you didn't listen to your messages. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending us messages the whole time. Sometimes easier messages and sometimes more painful messages. The question that we have to ask ourselves is, are we listening to these messages? I think my friend from America has a book called Listen to Your Messages. I haven't read the book, but the title is so powerful. Rabbi Akiva, the great Rabbi Akiva, whom Chazal say to a certain degree became greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, he listened to his messages. Because he walked past a stone with a hole in it, and he said, if water can pierce a stone, then Torah can pierce my heart, and the rest is history. And as all the Bali Musa point out, it's probably safe to assume that hundreds and thousands of people also walked past this same stone. And what became of them? We have no idea. We've never heard of them. What was the difference? He read his messages. He stopped to think, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was organized that I should walk past this stone, this extraordinary stone, then clearly that's an extraordinary message for me. All I've got to do is stop and think and understand what that message is. It's recorded that the Chofetz Chaim, when sitting at home learning, would hear thunder outside. All of a sudden hear a clap of thunder, he would stop and he would say, after I presume he said the bracha, he would say, Vos vil de tata. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? It's an alarm bell. If there's a clap of thunder, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants something. I have to stop and think now, what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. In conclusion, very, very, I think, famous, but very important anecdote. It's recorded that a Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim once saw the Chofetz Chaim learning Parashat Vo'era, the Parasha of the Makris. And he was a spectator. He wanted to see how does the Chofetz Chaim learn Chumash. And the Chofetz Chaim got to the part of the Parasha that deals with Dam, Sfaradeya, Kinim, the Makris. And all of a sudden the Chofetz Chaim gets up from his seat. And he looks very perturbed, very disturbed and bothered. And he's pacing up and down his room, up and down. And clearly he has a big kasha on the Chumash and the Talmud. Tried to get closer to listen. What was the Chofetz Chaim's kasha? And he hears the Chofetz Chaim mumbling to himself, Vos hot Paroi getracht. What did Paroi think? In other words, the Chofetz Chaim was bothered. Poshut, pshat. In a pasuk, nothing fancy. How do you read this story? Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paro all of the water supply is going to be converted into dam. And that's exactly what happens. And what happens to Paro? Nothing. Sardeya, Kinim, Oro, is there some explanation? Was Paro deaf? Was he blind? Was he oblivious? What did he think? Was there some rational way that Paro could perhaps explain away all of these? There must be a chat. Simply to say, well, you just ignored it. It doesn't make sense. The Chofetz Chaim wasn't satisfied with that. Vos hot Paroi getracht. Vos hot Paroi getracht. Didn't he see the truth? And he's pacing up and down his room. Vos hot Paroi getracht. Again and again, the Talmud hears the Chofetz Chaim say that. Until all of a sudden, sees the Chofetz Chaim suddenly stop. The Chofetz Chaim seems calmed and sits down. Oh, he's got the pshat. The Talmud overhears the Chofetz Chaim saying, says, Vaistois, it would seem to be Paroi hot nisht getracht. Paroi clearly didn't think. And that was the Chofetz Chaim's pshat in the pasuk. Said the Chofetz Chaim, I have no other way of learning poshut pshat. Poshut pshat in the pasuk. If Paroi would have opened his eyes and his mind, and would have thought about what was happening to him, the story could not possibly have continued the way it did. Any thinking person would realize, look what's happening to you and your country. So what did Paré think? Ah, I've got it, says the Chofetz Chaim. By stories, Paré didn't think. And when a person doesn't think, then a Kodesh Baruch Hu could rain, Dam, Sardeya, Kimim, Eser, Makas, and his unmoved. And that's what the Chassam Sefer is teaching us as well. So the tzorah can be a chesed. The chesed is an alarm bell, but it's only an alarm bell if we're there listening and thinking, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from us? We're very, very quick to sometimes pontificate and explain, well, this happened because of this, and there's a whole political upheaval, and it's present, and then a war, and a battle, and that's it, fine, so it's all explained, it all makes sense now. You've got a financial explanation, and a military explanation, an economic explanation, diplomatic explanation, everything works out. Maybe the explanation is that Kodesh Baruch is trying to shake you up. Maybe the explanation is that this is a tremendous chesed of a Kodesh Baruch Hu to produce something extraordinary. Because had it been ordinary, then it wouldn't be a wake-up call. And that's what the Chassam Sefer was saying. Occasionally we need to say, Baruch Hashem Asher Hifli Chaste. He has done wondrous kindness, Be'ir Motzei, not to take us out of the besieged city, but to put us in the besieged city in the first place. Because that is a tremendous chesed, on condition that we stop, and we think, and we listen to our messages.